Hello, Alan Meshuggah Jr. here, and welcome to today's podcast. A lot of good things are going on, and I'm excited to be able to give you this word today. This is a powerful word, a powerful truth. As a matter of fact, I want to walk you through the Bible and show you some things possible in a way you've never seen it before. But before we do this, let me just encourage you to go online and take full advantage of all of our online resources. Go to fullturn.com. There's a lot there, information that you can get, online store. Also, you can go to watch our sermons. Our past sermons are all there for you. Also, download our app. Go to the app store and download our app on your mobile device, because you can do the same thing using our app. You can also give using our app. I encourage you right now to share this podcast. Share it. If you're able to share it right now, share it out there so that more people can hear the word of God that is coming out from this podcast. Boy, I'm excited. God has a lot of good things in store for each and every one of us. He has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for our lives. So let's get into today's topic. Today, we are talking about things being presented in their right context. Context is important. As a matter of fact, I would say, in a way, context is king. Because if things are outside of their right context, everything is going to be wrong. It's going to be misunderstood. And if it's misunderstood, then it's going to be misrepresented. And if it's misrepresented, then it's going to be misappropriated. Let me explain this to you. In 1999, I went with my dad and my brother. We went to London. And while we were in London, we went to a restaurant. And at this restaurant, you had to go to the counter to order. And so I walked up to the counter to order. And I held up my two fingers. I held them up to say, hey, I would like to have two drinks. And when I did, the woman looked at me so like baffled that I held up my hand with my two fingers, and you know, and she said, that's not two, in her English accent. She said, that's not two. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, that means, and she told me what it meant. Basically, the way that I held up my two fingers in England is the same as us holding up our middle finger. So you can imagine what that was like. It was like I was saying, you know, to her. And I was just trying to order two drinks. So in America, that means two. In London, it means something totally different. Context is very important. You can say one thing in one context and it means something totally different than if you use it in another context. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are many different examples of this. There are things that we say that if we said them in other nations, those nations would be totally misrepresented. They would totally think that we mean something else. There are many examples of this, and I won't go through them because a lot of them are crude, but it's the truth that if something is in its wrong context, it will look totally different. It will be totally misrepresented. And when something is totally misrepresented or brought or delivered out of a wrong context, then it's going to be misappropriated. We're going to deal with that information in the wrong way because we feel like it means something else. Now, here's what this podcast is about, because I want you to understand, I believe that many people have taken the whole Bible out of context because we believe it to be something that it's not. Many people believe that the Bible is a religious book. The Bible is not a religious book. Let me explain that to you. Because the Bible, what the Bible truly is, well, we understand that the Bible is God-breathed. That every scripture is God-breathed. It is there for our growth, our development. It is there to bring correction. It is there to bring direction. It is there basically to build us, to grow us, that we might be all that God has called and purposed for us to be. But that still doesn't make it a religious book. I just let me say right off, yes, I believe that the Bible is infallible. It is the inerrant word of God. But it's not a religious book. It is a book about a king, his kingdom, and his children. The Bible is God's plan for his people, his plan for this world. And it starts out in the book of Genesis, which means the beginning. It starts out in the beginning with the book of Genesis showing us why God created the heavens and the earth. Now understand this. I said it's about a king, it's about a kingdom, and it's about his kids or his children. So what does that mean? In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, what did he do? A king created domain. When a king gets land or acquires more land, it becomes his kingdom. And so God created his kingdom, heaven and earth. And what did he do? He said, I will rule the heavens, but I'm going to put man in my image. I'm going to make man in my image and in my likeness. I'm going to create him male and female. I'm going to create them, and I'm going to give them, the man whom I've created in my image and likeness, I'm going to give them dominion in the earth. Now, understand this word dominion, which the root word is domain. I'm going to give them dominion. The word dominion and kingdom are interchangeable. So when he says, I'm going to give them dominion, he said, I'm giving them the kingdom. That they are going to rule. The earth is mine. It belongs to me. But I'm going to give them the ability and the right to rule on my behalf in the earth. Because I am the King of Kings. I am the Father and they are my children. So right off the bat, from Genesis, the first chapter, into the second chapter, what do we see? We see the King and the Kingdom. And we see the Father and his sons. Right there. We see it from the very beginning. This is God's plan, and it's his plan unfolding. This is God's plan for the earth, which is kingdom and family. Write that down. If you're in a place where you can write it down, this is God's plan. This is God's concept. Now, let me talk about that word concept for a second, because if we have the wrong concepts, we were talking about context a moment ago. I want to talk to you about concepts for a moment, because if you have the wrong concepts, then you're going to see something totally wrong or out of context. Now watch this, because ideas, when they become fully crystallized, become concepts. The problem that many of us have is we have the wrong ideas. We have, listen to this, we have religious ideas, religious mindsets. I'm not saying religion is bad. Religion at its purest level is good. It's doing good for people and helping people. The book of James says that pure religion and undefiled before God is what? Helping widows and orphans. It's taking care of people who have needs, and it's abstaining from the things of this world. I don't have a problem with religion. I just want you to, and religion is found, you know, the pure religion is in the kingdom. But understand this, it's all about the kingdom. So if we have religious mindsets, and when I say religious mindsets, you got to understand that the Judaizers and the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus was always confronting, they were confronting him with a religious mindset, and he was confronting them back with the kingdom. So understand this, God's concept is not religion. God's concept is the kingdom. His will being done as it is in heaven in the earth. God is ruling the heavens. He has put man in rulership over the earth. Now, if we've got the wrong concepts, ideas that are fully crystallized become concepts. Now, the thing is, concepts are very hard to change because they're fully crystallized ideas. In other words, they're things that we firmly believe. But have you ever thought that maybe what you firmly believe is a lie, or maybe what you firmly believe is wrong, or maybe what you firmly believe is only a part or a piece of the whole picture or puzzle. So we have to understand God's plan from the beginning. He's not creating a religion. He's creating a kingdom. He's putting his children in charge of the kingdom on the earth while he is ruling on the throne in heaven. That's why Jesus said, pray after this manner, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now watch this, your kingdom come, your will be done the way it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is God's plan. It's his plan from the beginning. So what happens? Man loses dominion. He loses the kingdom, his right to rule in the earth, because he is tricked and deceived by the serpent. So God says, did you know this is something that a lot of people don't know. The first messianic prophecy or promise of a deliverer or of a savior or of the anointed one was right after the fall of man, because God says to the serpent, through the seed of the woman, that's Jesus, the seed of the woman is, you're going to bruise his heel. How many of you know he was bruised? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But by his stripes, we are healed. God said to the serpent, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The first messianic promise. Jesus came to destroy. Oh, I feel the anointing. He came to destroy all the power of the enemy. And Jesus himself said, if I do cast out devils and demons by the finger of God, then truly I tell you, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Not the religion. The kingdom of God has come upon you. So if your mindset is religion, then you are totally diminishing God's plan. You are totally in your mind lessening the overall plan of God, because you're seeing it as just some kind of rules and regulations that you're supposed to kind of adhere to please, you know, a higher being, so that one day you can go to heaven. That, you know, there's some truth in there as far as, you know, you want to please God. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And when you come to him, you must believe that he is. He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There is a place called heaven. Absolutely. We established that. He created the heavens and the earth. He's ruling in heaven. He's put man to rule the earth. To be absent from the body, this body is what's holding us in this earth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which means we walk from this realm into another. So there is a heaven, and we can go there if we believe in Christ and only through Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father now and forever. So understand, I'm not lessening that. I'm just saying God's plan is kingdom, and his plan is family. Kingdom and family. Now let me walk you through something here, because I want to show you the Bible in its right context. I want to show you the Bible in its right context, so that you can see things in the way that God designed it to be and God's plan and purpose. We know that the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, God had a plan from the very beginning. The enemy would be defeated. The children of God would rule and reign in the earth. Jesus would raise many sons to glory. He's the firstborn among many brethren. But let's rewind. Let's go back. So God creates man in his image and likeness. He gives them the kingdom. He gives them dominion. They lose power. They lose authority because they're deceived by the enemy. They rebel against God. It was a declaration of independence. Man made a declaration of independence. We will be independent from God, and we will be ourselves become our own gods. And God said, okay, well, let's see how that works for you. And it didn't work at all. They fell away from God. They were stripped of what he had placed upon them. They found themselves naked and afraid. Not like the show on the Discovery Channel. And now what is happening? We see man falling away from God. He's falling further away from God. Mankind, the sons of God and the sons of men, are getting involved with one another. Things are not good on the planet. It is totally not the way God has orchestrated it. So God finds a man named Noah and his family. Noah finds favor in the eyes of the Lord. He finds favor and grace. That word grace is used. That he finds favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's told to build a big boat to save his family and to save the animals that God has created that are going to be a part of that he's going to save and start over with. You know the story. I'm not trying to go through all these stories, but God does that. He saves Noah and his family on the ark, and he starts over again with Noah. Now let's fast forward a little bit. Let's fast forward to Abraham. God calls a man named Abraham out of his father's house and out of his father's country. Why does God do this? Now, remember, we're talking about the Bible in its right context. Abraham is called the father of our faith, but Abraham is not called out of his father's country and out of his father's house to start a religion. He is not called out of his father's house to start a religion called Judaism. Or, you know, that's not what he's doing. What God is doing is God is calling out this man to make of him, watch this, a great nation. He's not making of him a religion. He's making of him a nation, a nation, a nation. Come on, say that. He's making of him a nation. He said, I'm going to make of you, Abraham, you're going to be the father. I'm going to make of you a great nation. You're going to be the father of many nations. That means many different kinds of people are going to be a part of you and come from you. And he even tells him that kings will come forth from him. Now watch this. And he's telling him that he's going to have a seed, that his seed is going to outnumber the stars in the sky, and that his seed will be a blessing to the nations. Well, if you look ahead and you get into the New Testament, you understand what seed God is talking about. He's not talking about Isaac, and he's not talking about, the 12 tribes of Israel, although they're a part of the story and they are the seed of Abraham. But the seed that he's talking about that will be a blessing to the nations is he's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about the church. Because now, through Jesus Christ, we are Abraham's seed. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. We are Abraham's seed, and we are heirs to the same promise, the promise of Abraham. And now the Bible says that the walls of partition have been torn down between Jew and Gentile, and we have all become one in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Peter announces, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Watch this. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now it doesn't matter where you came from. Now you've been made a holy nation through Jesus Christ. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile nor Greek. There is no bond or free. We are all one. There's neither male nor female. Watch this. Every wall, every division has been torn down. Now, that's, follow me here, because the kingdom of God is about a holy nation, God's children, a royal priesthood, ruling on behalf of God in the earth. Through Jesus Christ, walls are taken down. Through religion, walls are put up. Have you ever noticed that? See, if the Bible is taken out of its context, if it is a religious book, it puts up walls. Let me explain that. Because if it's a religious book, then there are things that come out of it like denominations, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic, Church of God, Church of God in Christ, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, and the list goes on and on and on and on, my friend, of all these denominations. I understand I'm not against denominations. I think there are good things that you know, with covering and all the stuff that denominations do for the local church. Hey, that's fine. But what they have become is they become walls. Because now I'm Baptist, and now I'm Methodist, and now you're Catholic, and now you're Episcopalian, and now this other person over here, they're Pentecostal. And now what we have is we have all these walls that God never meant for us to put up. Why? Because we are all His children. We are all created by Him. We are all created for His glory, for His pleasure. We are all created to rule on His behalf in the earth, and He has gifted us, and He's given us gifts and talents and abilities, and in Christ Jesus, we are all one, and we're the body of Christ, one body, many members, many different giftings, but yet the fullness of the body is not seen until the whole body is working together in unity. So, hey, come on now. Religion builds walls. The kingdom of God tears them down. Because the kingdom pulls down strongholds. So hear me today and understand, He makes of Abraham a great nation. This is the purpose. So now He raises up Moses. And I won't go through the whole story. He raises up Moses, a deliverer. What is Moses doing? Moses is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. So Moses delivers the children of Israel out of bondage. This is the same thing by the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. This is the same thing that Jesus will do for us. So now God is giving us a type and shadow from Egypt, baptism through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and from the wilderness into the promised land. But now in the Old Testament, the promised land is a place, a geographical location. But in the New Testament, the promised land is a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. Everything, the Red Sea, the mountain of God, the tabernacle, the rock, the manna, the Jordan, the Ark of the Covenant, becoming the Ark of the Testimony, the cities that are defeated, the promised land that is taken. All of this, a type and shadow of what Jesus Christ would do for us. Now we're getting all these messianic prophecies. I don't have time to go through all the men and women in the Old Testament, but all the minor prophets, the major prophets, they're prophesying these things. They're prophesying the day of the Lord. They're prophesying the coming King. They're prophesying all the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of David. What is this all about? It's about the King coming, God coming to dwell again with His people. And He said, I will make you My people, you will be My people, and I will be your God, and I will dwell again in your midst, and all the nations of the world will know that I'm with you. And remember, through Jesus Christ, we are the Israel of God. Through Jesus Christ, we are God's chosen people, His chosen and holy nation. So Jesus, now we get into Matthew, and Jesus comes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are telling us about what Jesus did for us. That Jesus came, what did He do? He came as a king to do what? To restore the kingdom of God. John the Baptist comes to prepare the way. He's the last of the old covenant prophets, the Old Testament prophets. And what does he say? He says, get ready, repent, change your mind. Because the kingdom of God now is at hand. Here, the kingdom of God is coming back. God is Emmanuel. God is with us, is coming to dwell. Jesus comes. He patterns for us what it looks like to be a son of God in the earth. He bleeds for us to reconcile us, to bring forgiveness of sins. He restores us back to God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He ascends. He's seated on the throne. He seats us on the throne. We are seated with him in heavenly places. And now we're back in a place where we can reign in life with him. Romans 5:17, through the abundance of grace and this free gift of righteousness, we can reign in life with Christ. Jesus reconciled it all back to him. To God. He brought the earth, the kingdoms of this world back into a place where he is preeminent. He is above all things in the universe, in heaven, every name that is named in heaven and in earth. Jesus has become preeminent. He is first above all, in all, and through all. So now what has happened? He's restored authority. He said, I give you power over all the works of the devil. Now go and make disciples of all these nations. Bring people out of darkness and into light. Bring them out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God. Expand my kingdom rule in the earth until all my enemies are put under my feet. This is what the Bible is all about. If we see it in its wrong context, then it will become something totally different to us. And my fear is this, I'll close with this in this podcast. My fear is this. My fear is most Christians are wasting their time in the earth because they've just positioned themselves to die and go to heaven. And while when we believe in Jesus Christ, heaven, we will make heaven our home, we need to understand this. We are in the earth, given the authority of God in the earth, given the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has given us now in the earth to do what? To demonstrate his kingdom, to advance his kingdom in the earth. And know this, we will all be held accountable. We will all be held accountable. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, we will all be held accountable for what we have done in the body. We will be held accountable for, remember the parable of the talents? We will be held accountable for what we've done with what belongs to the King. He's given us his property to manage, and if we're faithful over a few things, he'll make us ruler over many. What are we doing with what he's given us now? I'm not just positioning myself. See, that in the parable of talents, that mindset is the wicked servant. It's the one who buries his talent because he's afraid. And he's afraid of the master and what he might do to him if he squanders it. And so he buries it. That is the same mentality that says, I'm just going to sit here until I go to heaven. That's the same mentality. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. The kingdom mentality says, everything that I have comes from God. He is the owner of it all. He's given it to me to manage it and steward it in the earth. The gifts, the talents, the abilities, the finances, the resources, all that I have has come from him. He's given me the power of his Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit, his power from on high. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, his spirit has never left the earth. The body of Christ is at work in the earth. I am a part and member of that body. And as long as I am in the earth, I am here to prove to this world who God is, to show forth his goodness, to be a witness of who he is in the earth, to make disciples of all the nations, to baptize in his name, to see the blinded eyes open, the deaf ears unstopped, the lame walk, and the dead raised to life, to see the gospel of the kingdom preached. That's why I'm here, to be the light of the world, to be a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, to be the salt of the earth. In heaven, he's the light. In the earth, we are the light. Oh, this is good. In heaven, he is the light. In the earth, we are the light of the world. Well, that's a lot that I've given you in this almost 30-minute podcast. But I tell you this, take a hold of this truth. Do everything in its right context, and then you won't misrepresent God. If there's one thing that I never want to do, I never want to misrepresent him. I am here. I exist to represent him well. Jesus said, while I am in this world, I am the light of the world. This is while he's walking on the earth. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now that he is in heaven, he seated me with him in heavenly places. Now I and you, the body of Christ, the church of the living God, are the light of the world. And we are here to show forth the image of God, the image of Christ, the image of Jesus, Christ our Lord, to this world. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I'm believing that God is going to impact you with this word. Hopefully you are seeing things in a different way, and that hopefully we have torn down some strongholds in your mind and your thinking, and you can see clearly now what God has purposed for your life. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. And until next time, this is Pastor Alan Meshuggah Jr. God bless you. He has a plan, purpose, and a destiny for your life.